Doctors are just as greedy and horny as everybody else.
If you're hearing our voices, that means it's time for It's This Meets That, the podcast where we watch the worst movies from trailer to end credits, scene by scene, so you don't have to, but maybe you should. I'm Russ.
I'm Jared. Words to live by.
Words to live by.
We see you, doctors.
Yeah, we see you. We're coming for you. starting now.
Yep. I invented a drug, probably.
Yeah, probably. Okay, so we're back with our full breakdown of Pain Hustlers 2023, Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Captain America, Andy Garcia.
Yeah, yeah, what an all-star cast.
All-star cast. Catherine O'Hara. She's, how am I forgetting Catherine O'Hara?
Yeah, right? A delight.
Great cast. Terrible movie. So that's why it's here. That's why it's landed here. So
that's right.
Yeah, we got drugs involved, you know, got all sorts of fun stuff. So
love them.
Love. Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah. Depends on which ones. But yes. Anyways. Sure. Do you want to
tell people what it's about?
Yeah, why not? In case you missed the trailer trash, which if you did, start there because that's how this works.
That's right.
Go. If you heard the intro, it's trailer 10 credits. So
you'll like it better, probably.
Probably because it's only 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
It's shorter, right?
Yes. But stick around. This is fun. This is good.
Yeah, we have a good time here, folks. We
great
laugh.
Time, great time. Just like come and hang out. Yeah, it's like we're all just hanging out, you know. Yeah, crack a beer, hang out, sit in your couch. Right,
what a time. Yeah, don't unless you're driving and listening to this on your commute. Don't crack a beer.
Yes, don't listen and drive at the same time. Oh no, don't drink and drive at the same time. Yes,
yeah, okay. Listen and drive. That's fine.
Right, listen and drive is okay.
So anyway, Pain Hustlers. It's about Liza dreams of a better life for herself and her daughter. Hired to work for a bankrupt pharmaceutical company, Liza skyrockets with sales into the high life, putting her in the middle of a federal criminal conspiracy.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, it's all there.
Sums it up.
Yeah. As a famous person once said, it's all there. So,
Was that you?
No, it was actually a friend of my dad's. Pretty good line. It's all weird. There. There's feedback you give someone. It's all there. It's all there.
It's all there. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, it's good positive. Anyways, all right, so yeah, I think that nails it pretty much, right?
Yep.
No super gripes, no mega gripes.
No, it's a fine log line. Yeah. I was more thinking, I'm pre-thinking about my expectations from the trailer and how wrong I was about most things.
We didn't quite nail them.
No. I wanted the daughter to get hooked on the drug so bad.
Yeah, we were aiming for that. We did nail, though, that she does have some type of medical condition, does play a part in our main character's story. We did get that right.
That's right. That's right.
Did we turn it into like a zombie thing, I think, maybe?
I think there was a bit of a zombie element, yeah, which I guess kind of turned out.
Kind of did, because there is a scene.
There's not
one scene where I'm like, I think these are just a bunch of zombies.
I think it's a zombie scene. Yeah.
Or just a bunch of people from Florida. Yeah, either way.
Tomato, tomato.
Sorry, Florida, you are going to get thrown under the bus on this one. So
yeah, I think we have at least one listener in Florida. So
now we have none.
Yeah, it's a tale as old as Florida time.
Yeah, seriously.
Bound to youth style.
All right, well, we can't remember the expectations we had of the trailer. We knew it was not going to be good. We knew it was going to be kind of like an Adam McKay ripoff, Wolf of Wall Street type of thing.
Yep.
Which is
low-hanging fruit. We could not possibly have used that in a bit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's too obvious. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, that's it, I think, right?
I think so, yeah. Might as well dive into some info.
Do you want some info?
Please.
All right. This is going to be quick. Hence the segment title, Quick Info.
Oof.
I know.
Yeah. Listeners, we like to name the segments like things that are fast or quick. Yes. And then it's in stark contrast to the rest of the episode. I think is that the joke?
Am I explaining the joke? Well, it's a power of words, I think, is what we're doing here. It's a power of suggestion.
Because, power of positivity.
Right. Power of positivity, power of suggestion, power of words. A lot of power going on here. So we say it's quick info, but it's not, but people will still think it is.
Right? The best.
Because as we know, time doesn't, it's something we've all made up, right? It's a construct that we've created, right? I mean, it measures
what
stuff,
is time?
But you know, what is time?
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Your quick is different than my quick.
Yeah. We're all Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's right. All right. So quick info. I'm gonna blow your mind here. So this was directed by Dave. Yeah. Okay. Directed by David Yates. He's a British guy there. He's the UK, right?
Yeah.
Are you ready for his credits? I know you remember we talked about some trailer trash. Like, oh man, his name sounds really familiar. Who is he?
I was like the Harry Potter guy.
Yeah. That's who he is. He did a couple movies before, TV movies and stuff. And then out of nowhere, 2007, he's doing Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, 2009, Half-Blood Prince, 2010, 2011, Part 1, Part 2, Deathly Hallows.
Doing the less good Harry Potters, to be frank.
These are the ones that aren't good, right?
Yeah, they're fine, but like the first few were the good ones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's doing the back half.
Yeah. I mean, they still crushed it though, right? So
made a gazillion dollars. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
David
Yates wants for nothing.
Yes. And then he did some TV series, then he jumped into the big Legend of Tarzan, which
Did you see that one?
No. Can we actually do that on here? We might be able to do that one on here.
Maybe. Wait, was it that bad? Really?
I don't know. I mean, it probably should be, right?
Right.
Right.
How do you compete with cartoon Tarzan or what's that guy that everyone loves to hate? Hollywood guy there.
So close. So close.
Ugh.
35%. Ugh. Come on. We could do this 10,000 BC movie. I got 9%.
Yep.
Anyways, that's distracting. So David Yates,
talking about too much Tarzan.
So he does the Tarzan movie, and then at the same year he releases he got into the Fantastic Beasts stuff. Where to Find Them, Crimes of
Back to His Roots.
Yeah, go back to your roots. Secrets of Dumbledore in 2022, and then he comes in hot with Pain Hustlers, straight for Netflix.
I think that's all the Fantastic Beasts, right? So there are only three.
I have no idea. I don't know. I've lost track.
Yeah, stick with what works. Go back to Harry Potter. Make more Harry Potters because Pain Hustlers ain't it.
No.
Yatesy, my guy.
Yatesy, what are you doing, Yatesy? Get back there. Get back there. Get back to where you belong.
Not a friend of the pod. I thought there was like something that he did that we did, but
no.
Nope.
All right, screenwriters. So this was, there's only one. It's Wells Tower, which,
cool name.
Come on, cool name. Cool name, not a cool screenplay. he doesn't have a lot under his belt, according to the IMDb. He's just written this. He's just written this. He's got like a TV movie and like something else that just doesn't barely exist on IMDb. So,
yeah, that sounds fake.
Yeah, they're probably he's a producer, so that's probably he's like, oh, I want to write a movie, and this is what I want to do. So,
yeah, he's got a name for Hollywood, so stick with it, Wells. I bet you'll do fine.
Yeah, Wells Tower. That's a made up name. Wells Tower. That's gonna be a made up name, right? Maybe it's someone else.
I don't know. I hope not. It's it's so cool. Yes.
Like, the parents are like, "What shall we name him?" Wells.
Wells Tower.
Is that short for Wellesley? No, it's just Wells.
Yeah. Imagine being down in a hole, but also high in the sky.
Right.
Wells Tower.
Tower.
Ah, a man of paradoxes.
This well towers over you. And then it's based on the book by Evan Hughes.
Okay.
So
maybe a journalist or something. Like, is the book fictionalized as the movie, do you think? Or is the book a more straight retelling?
I think it's a more straight retelling. It's not like fictionalized at all. He's I looked up him a little bit of his stuff. He's written for New York Times. He does all these investigative articles, journalists, stuff like this. So
Oh, kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Okay. And he's not he's not British like David Yates.
No.
A Jerno, I think they call him.
No, I don't think so.
Across the pond.
No, he's not. So just good old David Hughes. Yeah. Or Evan Hughes. Not David. Evan David's Hughes. His brother. Whatever.
Right. Howard?
Howard. Duck? No. All right. So
Howard the Duck. Evan Hughes' brother.
This is when we're doing a little word association.
You know it's my favorite game.
All right. So who's in this movie? Do you want to know?
More than anything.
This quick info has stumbled a bit here, but that's on me.
It has ballooned.
We'll speed it up here. All right, so Emily Blunt plays Liza Drake, our main hero character. Maybe not hero, protagonist.
Blunty.
Chris Evans, our Captain America, plays Pete Brenner, kind of a sleazeball. Hey, how you doing? You're not going to make 100K. You're going to make 600K this year kind of guy.
Yeah, good accent that he's doing in this movie also.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When I told you you're going to make 100K, I was wrong. You're going to make 600K. All right, settle down. Settle down with that. Just tell me what I'm going to make. Catherine O'Hara plays Jackie Drake, a.k.a. Mom, Liza's mom. Chloe Coleman plays Phoebe, the daughter. Andy Garcia.
Do you mean 2020 nominee for outstanding performance by an ensemble in a drama series for Big Little Lies?
Who is this?
Chloe Coleman?
No, I did not. I did not know that.
Chloe Coleman?
That's her.
Wow. Okay.
Nailed it. Mr. Andy Garcia plays Dr. Neil. Basically our villain in a way, I guess, right? Is he really the villain?
Yeah, I think so.
Because he's the mastermind at the top here, kind of doing this whole thing, right?
He's not the villain. Yeah,
he's not the villain.
He gets the most prison time. Spoilers.
I mean, according to the FBI, he is the villain. So I'm gonna go with the FBI on their call in this situation. So Brian D'Arcy James plays Dr. Lydell.
Cool.
Yeah, we got
he's in stuff, I think.
Yeah. So I know his name sounds super familiar, and I was like, I know, I recognize him. I know what he's been in, but I don't.
He's not really bald, right?
No. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but none of the stuff, like, I'm forgetting which one that he was in. He's in Hawkeye.
Devs, that was big.
Oh, yeah,
in Devs. One episode of Devs.
One episode of Devs, right.
Okay.
He's like one of those guys, you always see him, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. What's he doing?
Oh, in there. Big okay. 13 Reasons Why guy. So he's no stranger to Netflix. That makes sense.
He's done his one episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit. So he's done his time.
You have to. He's a journeyman.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. He's in this. He plays Dr. Lydell, important, you know, kind of.
Also the villain, kind of.
Definitely the villain in this movie.
Yep.
We got a Duplass, another Duplass. Jay.
Love it.
I know.
Jay.
It feels like the rare Jay sighting. Yeah, the rare Jay sighting. He plays Larking, the marketing guy, the VP of marketing guy.
Yeah, you love to hate him.
Yeah, you do. Amit Shah plays Eric Paley. What was his role? He was like
the CEO at first.
That's right.
Yeah, first half of the movie he was the CEO.
That's right. And then we got Shelley Jane. She plays nervous doctor's crush.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah,
so there you go.
Nailed it.
Box office numbers, I couldn't get any. This was released in theaters for a short time though.
Wow.
But it was on Netflix because now they're doing the whole release in the theater for a short time so you can get, you know, the Academy Awards.
Yeah. Silly.
Yeah. Just put the movie out.
Put the movie out.
Gives you about Academy Awards. So this was done on a budget of $50 million.
That's too much. On what?
Chris Evans and Emily Blunt.
Florida?
I think they probably shot in the UK in a green screen.
Probably. Classic Yatesy.
Yeah.
He's like, no, let's do it a little more like Harry Potter.
Can we fly
all
around?
British, all green screen.
All day. 50 all day. All day. All right.
Pip, pip.
Cheerio. All right.
Listeners, it's the only time I'm going to get to do British this whole, because the rest of it, I'm going to do Southern.
Yeah, Southern Florida accents. Which no one has a Southern accent unless it's like Chris Evans' weird Brooklyn. I don't know. What is he? Is it?
He's like from here. He's like from like Massachusetts.
No, I'm saying his character.
Oh, you mean his character? Yeah.
Yeah. Like the accent he's doing in this movie. Like,
it's like a combo New England,
New York kind of.
New York.
Yeah.
It's like a general Northeast United States accent.
Yeah. Kind of like, oh, wait, I'm driving here kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Classic carpetbagger.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Rotten Tomatoes is 23% on the critical side, 65% on the audience score.
I could see that.
I could see that, though. Makes sense, right?
The movie was watchable. I wasn't like miserable the whole 2 hours.
No.
It moves along.
It moves along.
Predictable.
We've seen this movie though like 3 or 4 times already. That's the problem.
Yeah. Some weird, it's shot kind of weirdly that I didn't enjoy, but.
Yeah, we'll get to it when we get there. But yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about it later is what you're saying.
Yes, we'll talk about it later. That's not the time for quick info. Okay, so that's quick info. That was not quick at all.
I'll take blame for that one, as usual.
Yeah. Well, fast facts is going to be really fast, but maybe not because you have some things you haven't shown me yet, so I don't know what's happening. So
don't worry. I'll blow it out.
Okay, sweet.
Back me, Daddy.
I've only got two here. So right off the top, the inspiration for the film comes from the 2022 book called The Hard Sell, Crime and Punishment and an Opioid Startup by Evan Hughes. So that's where this all came from. This is where this all started, right?
Mm-hmm.
The characters and product names in this film are fictionalized. Company was actually Insys Therapeutics, and the sublingual fentanyl drug was Subsys.
Mm-hmm.
The founder of the company portrayed by Andy Garcia was John Kapoor. Maria Guzman was the name of the sales rep turned whistleblower portrayed by Emily Blunt. There were eventually several whistleblowers who filed suit against the company. In addition to the INSIS executives who were convicted on racketeering charges, multiple physicians did jail time for fraudulent prescribing practices. Substance is still on the market, now owned by BTCP Pharma, who pledged to only market the drug for cancer-related pain because that's what it's for, like stage four cancer level pain.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, you're in.
You're not supposed to just be taking fentanyl.
No.
Enemy of the pod, fentanyl.
Yeah,
said it once.
Yeah, said it again. Twice. Yeah. Don't fool us again, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that. So, really, Kapoor, yeah, as played by Andy Garcia, Dr. Yep. Neil, he's the villain here. So,
I've got a follow on fast fact for you on that.
Because that's it, that's all I got.
Perfect.
Right? That was fast, right?
Yeah. He got sentenced the most prison time out of any of the people here, which, like,
yeah,
realistically, it wasn't very much anyway. He got 5.5 years.
Yeah.
And he served 2.5 of those. He's already back out probably doing millionaire stuff.
Yeah. Like 2.5 years and probably, yeah, like, was it maximum? It wasn't like maximum. It was just kind of like probably a little spa.
I'm sure it was country club prison. Yeah. yeah, a big 2.5. Big 2.5.
2.5. Wow.
Yep.
Nice. That's
so
that's,
it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's cool.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Probably not that many people died.
You texted me when I texted you, I finished the movie. You're like, so does Big Pharma, let me guess, Big Pharma wins again? I'm like, yeah. I mean, this, yeah. A slap in the wrist at the end of it, and then yeah, they're yeah. fine.
Like, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, listeners, but at the end of the movie, they're like, wow, what a big win. This is the first time that, like, we're sending these drug makers to prison for, like, murdering people. And then, like, it's like, kind of.
Because when you actually murder someone, you go to prison for life.
At least 20, usually.
Yeah. At least 20.
Yeah, not two.
2.5. 2.5. 2.5.
Come on. Out of 5, like, make him do the whole 5.5. I don't know. So it's not that long.
That's the trick. If you want to kill someone, just make sure there's plenty of layers between you and
just
you
kill
know.
A lot of people. Yes. Hundreds, like immeasurable numbers. Because then you just get lost and confused. You're like, yeah, how many? I don't know. I can't keep
just
it all
make
straight.
Sure, just make sure it's all behind an LLC or an own corporation. That's all done. Right.
That's right. Works every time.
Works every time. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got some more for you.
Go for it. Please
some
go
funny
on.
Interview anecdotes.
Love it,
so I love Yatesy here talking about, like, the premise for this movie. Just the phrasing of this quote is funny to me. So
Yatesy, let's go, boy.
Yeah. He's talking about, like, what made you attracted to the concept of, like, doing a movie about American healthcare as a British man?
He's probably gonna be like, well, Fantastic Beast, you know.
Well, he's like, that was exciting and intriguing to me coming from a national health system based in the UK. I was looking for a drama, I guess. Having spent a lot of time doing various wizard films, I wanted a drama based in the real world, a social issue based drama that was part of the national conversation. Which various wizard movies. How many times have I been able to say that in my career? None.
None. Like, he was just waiting for that moment to say various wizard.
Having done various wizard movies.
I could hear it with a little bit of a little British twang in there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Various. I don't know. Various. He's like a super fancy Britishman.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yes, absolutely. He's got a monocle.
Right. Oh, for sure. classic Yatesy.
Yatesy.
I also appreciate that apparently he's like has no familiarity with Florida. Like, coming into this, yeah, he's just like, wow, what's a Florida? And the costume director, Colleen, I've immediately forgot her last name. But she was like, oh yeah, like, well, David's a dream to work with, you know, I've worked with him on several movies now, and just like, I really wanted to bring, like, Florida fashion into this, like, that's what I was kind of aiming for, like, you can really get a sense of the place and time with it. And I'm like, what? Like, I think they're just wearing clothes.
Yeah. they're just clothes, that's all.
Yeah, we went from, like, a Men's Warehouse kind of vibe to, like, a designer kind of vibe, and
It's
all right. You've got a dream job.
Yeah.
So another funny thing,
yeah.
Apparently Emily Blunt was traveling, doing something for the film. And like this is when they did the first screening of it, like a test screening. And just like bumped into some guy on a plane.
Mm.
And he was like, "You're Liza Drake, right?" And she's like, "How could you know that? The movie isn't even out. Like, what do you?" And he's like, "Oh, I was at the test screening from yesterday. Like, I really liked her character. And like, she was super relatable. Like, you know, the rest of the movie, meh, but like, you know, otherwise." And so apparently they took those notes. And I guess there were supposed to be like a few other storylines that we follow, just deleted it all. They're like, "Let's just make it about her. She's about more interesting." Her.
Yes.
Yeah. So it could have been longer.
We don't need that. We don't need the Yahtzee cut.
Yeah, the Yahtzee cut. Classic. Also, Chris Evans, we'll get to it, does a rap, which...
He does.
I'm shocked that you didn't text me about it. I wanted to text you, but it was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
I just kind of want to leave it to you. I just want to be like, I think I was like, what is happening right now?
So funny. they gave him the lyrics to that the morning they shot it. And they were like,
I mean, come on, it's Chris Evans. Come on, Captain America. Right? He's going to come through for you.
Like, what a great. I just wanted to highlight Chris Evans and his acting ability, because he kind of pulls it off. It's not like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Chris Evans doing a rap.
Yes.
About drugs.
While dressed in like a nasal spray, like costume.
Yes. But it's also like not that bad for having learned it a couple hours ago.
Yeah. He crushes it. So, all right. Those are some good fast facts there, additional ones.
Yeah, and the last one, to wrap it up, there was one, the movie phone, like, article that I read about the movie. The movies they picked as representative of everyone's, like the thing that they call them out from,
yeah.
I was just baffled by the choices here. So we've got Emily Blunt from Oppenheimer, okay?
Okay.
Chris Evans from Knives Out. Okay. Catherine O'Hara from Home Alone. Andy Garcia from The Godfather Part 3.
What?
Jay Duplass from Horse Girl.
One of these stands out.
Ryan D'Arcy James from West Side Story. And Chloe Coleman from Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess you go
none of the things these people are famous for.
No, but those are just really well-known like films. That's all it was, right? Yep. Like, just call it the... Oh my god.
But like, all of their other movies are also equally well known, like Chris Evans from Avengers. I don't know, like, what?
Yeah.
like I don't get it.
Yeah.
Baffling. Anyway, that's it for me.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was fast.
Yeah,
we did.
I thought so.
Let's keep moving. Do you want to
Colleen Atwood?
Colleen Atwood. Atwood, right.
Atwood.
Classic.
Sorry, I interrupted your pitching of me to pitch you.
No, that's okay. But now, do you want to Hollywood pitch me, mother?
Okay. You know I do.
Okay.
So this movie's clearly The Founder meets The Flintstones. Double F's for me today.
I love the alliteration.
Thank you. So The Founder, a little more straightforward, I guess. For you listeners who haven't seen it, that's the movie about Ray Kroc, the McDonald's guy, who like really brought McDonald's and like fast food in America to be the business that it is today, right? The gazillion dollar business. Just like our movie here talking about opioids and being a gazillion dollar business. Like, what's more American than fast food? Opioids.
It's, I mean,
right.
It's basically another drug, right? I
mean, yep. Ray Kroc, founder, kind of stole it from the McDonald's brothers.
Definitely did. Yep. It's the American dream, right? That's what you do.
Another American dream. That's right. If you can't have a good idea, steal one. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think our founder in this one stole the idea, but he's definitely kind of like a shady dirtbag founder guy.
Yes. Yeah.
The main villain, just like in The Founder.
Yes.
Ray Kroc is kind of the main villain.
Kind of is.
They had that. Already talked about the screwing of his partners and things like that. And then there's really no consequences. Everyone ends up basically fine.
Fine.
Rick Rock doesn't do any prison time because
No,
he didn't
because
do any crimes.
not really. He just took their idea and that they had no control over and just,
Just, both parables about the dangers of unchecked capitalism. So there's that. Meets the Flintstones, speaking of dangers of unchecked capitalism.
Right.
So
Can't wait.
you may remember the Flintstones movie, as everyone knows, John Goodman's most famous role. Mr. Slate, who is the Fred Flintstones boss. So
Right.
again, we're keeping with the evil capitalist kind of things, like
That's right.
famous for having poor working conditions, all that. They also invent game-changing product in the Flintstones, just like
A hammer,
in,
right?
nope,
I forgot.
concrete.
That's
It's how
right.
you declare the Stone Age being over, by
That's
inventing
right.
concrete.
That's right. Okay. All right.
And it's like, the Flintstones, a tale as old as time. Just like this movie, you got the working man who's down on his luck. You get greedy capitalists taking advantage of him wanting to hustle. Fred Flintstone, classic hustler,
100%.
just doing what he can, working for the man, collecting a paycheck. Really means well at the end of the day, maybe does some bad things along the way, just like our hero here. I already forgot her character's name, Liza Drake.
Wise Drake, yep.
Yep, some complicated love relationships there, complicated relationships with children, just like this movie. We see what's her face there. She's like, it's kind of like a little abusive at times, but it's also, she'd do anything for her daughter, just like Fred Flintstone would do anything for what's her face, the daughter. And helping Pebbles, thank you myself, and helping Barney out with Bam Bam, like
That's right.
everyone's just trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. You could throw in there too. I don't know if you mentioned this because I got a little distracted while you're doing the founder, but
That's
another
right.
connection, McDonald's, I mean, just as accessible as fentanyl down in Florida, right?
That's right. That's right. You can find it on every corner,
Every corner.
just like McDonald's.
Yes. Okay. That was
What do you
good. I
got?
like that.
Thanks.
Okay. So I'm going, this is gonna be fun and I feel great about it. I'm
Yeah, it
going, it's
could.
Glengarry Glen Ross, the
Yep.
1992 David Mamet flick. James Foley directed, David Mamet written. It was originally a play turned into a film.
That's right. That's right.
Meets aliens. Yeah, that's right. Aliens.
Yeah, the first half of this, I'm following you because it's that movie. But also the second one, I am confused. So I'm gonna
Okay.
need you to elaborate on all this for me.
No problem. Glengarry Glen Ross. You've seen that one, right? Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Alec Baldwin, Ed Harris, awesome cast, right?
Great cast, just like this movie.
Alan Arkin, Kevin Spacey, Jonathan Pryce, good
Kevin
casting.
Spacey exonerated, more or
Oh,
less.
is he good? Is he?
Well, yeah, I think not criminally liable anymore. Possibly still a bad man, but also maybe that guy was a liar. I don't know.
See,
Innocent
he
in a
we
court of
teach.
law.
Hey, you're innocent until proven guilty. That's how it works here, okay?
That's
We
right.
don't just
Remained innocent.
Twitter is not the law, okay? It's not the courtroom. So let's all
That's right.
just, okay.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey, mixed bag.
Mixed bag. Okay. So
Probably
yeah.
a jerk. I don't know.
Probably a jerk, but I don't know. I still like some of his movies. Anyway,
Same.
so I'm going with this one. This one's pretty obvious. I mean, you could probably see a lot of parallels here. Both movies we got about sales reps just trying to survive, right?
That's right.
Both have sales reps getting or going after leads with kind of deceitful, dubious tactics. And Glengarry Glen Ross, it's a real estate thing, and all the sales reps are kind of battle over like the leads that they have in this movie,
Much
and
less regulated.
much less regulated. And in Pain Hustlers, they have like the speaker program that they put together to pull in their leads, the doctors and stuff, to get them to sign up and sign and start using their drugs, blah, blah, blah. It's basically a payola scheme in a way, right? Not in a way, it is.
Yep, it's bribery for sure.
It's bribery. Both have a timeline of success. 1 week, right? She was about to give up, and he's like, "No, you have 5 days. You had a full week. I have you for full week to get this, you know, to continue working. Then you can give up."
Yep, good call.
This movie takes place over a week, or it takes place over 2 days, but they have a week to prove success or something. I forget exactly how it works, but
sure.
Both have a character with an ill daughter that needs, you know, the commissions.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, that needs commissions to help said daughter.
Yeah, wow.
Both have moments of sales reps manipulating weaker clients or customers to get what they want. Glengarry Glen Ross, I think one character tries to convince like this some guy to buy a property. He's like, "No, this is like a great investment. It's an opportunity, not just a purchase."
Opportunity knocks.
In this movie, they're pushing a drug, you know, to help all pain, not just cancer pain.
Headaches.
Let's just get it out there. Let's get this super strong drug to deal with headaches.
When I have a headache, I always take fentanyl.
That's Jared's MO. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. And then last one for this is both involve the police and or FBI. I think there's a detective in Glengarry Glen Ross because there's a burglary, right? Where because someone comes in and steals the leads. So they have a detective come in and he's like questioning everyone. And in this movie, it's a burglary of people's lives. So
Yep. Federales.
Yeah. So Federales coming in. Pinkertons. Mm-hmm. Now meets aliens.
Yep.
James Cameron, 1986.
Right? Got some explaining to do.
what a great sequel, right?
Sure.
As soon as I say this, you're gonna be like, "Yeah, there it is." Okay, right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Both movies are about motherhood. Both movies are really about surviving and the survival of someone else. In this movie, it's a lesson that Liza learns as she's like she's seen her daughter, and then she's starting to see these people die and have these issues. And all of a sudden she's like, "Me being a whistleblower is going to save lives and get this drug out of people's hands, right? Because it's killing people." And she says, "I need to do the right thing to save people." Aliens, Sigourney Weaver's character, Ripley there, comes across Newt. She takes her on as a daughter. There's this whole motherhood thing. You got the queen alien and her, you know, trying to save her kids. And, you know, so there's a parallel there. Okay.
Yep.
Pretty good. A lot of this is going to be more like kind of like parallels and metaphor connections between characters and whatnot.
That's the best kind. Yeah.
Aliens, we got Carter Burke, right? Played by Paul Reiser. Just like Pete Brenner, Chris Evans' character, kind of the corporate sleazeball who will sacrifice others for corporate greed, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Both have really shitty locations. Aliens are on LV-426, Battle Ravaged Colony, infected by xenomorphs.
My least favorite planet.
Right? Of all the places. In this movie, they're in Florida, infected by Florida Man. And
my other least favorite planet.
And fentanyl, the people on fentanyl. Let's see. Ooh, I like this one. The Colonial Marines are basically, compared to this movie, are basically the people affected by Big Pharma, right? Because no one cares about them and they die in each movie.
Oh, that's totally right.
Love that. You like that? Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, Weyland-Yutani Corp, right? The corporation in Aliens and Alien and all the Alien movies is basically Big Pharma. In the end,
that's true.
They each, like at the end of each movie, they kind of just get a slap on the wrist like, "Oh, 2.5 years of prison. Really? That's all you got?"
Yep.
Weyland-Yutani just keeps motoring and they'll always come back and they will always win at some point. Yep. So,
And if you buy into the lore, kind of a crazy founder situation.
That's right. That's right. I just want to, I forget his name, but So this movie is
good connections.
Yeah. That's it. That's my pitch. So
I think you nailed it.
Go see those two movies. Cause they're great. Actually, your two movies, Flintstones. That's fun.
Also pretty good.
Yeah. And The Founder actually is a really good movie.
Enjoyable. Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
So many recommendations today.
That's what it's all about, recommending the future.
That's what it's all about.
It's
about the friends we made along the way.
That's right. Okay. Should we get into breaking this thing down?
Yup.
All right.
Am I ever?
Let's get started. Scene by scene. Here we go. So you get all your usual production distribution companies. You get Netflix, a big distributor, you know?
Netflix.
Kind of like the Big Pharma of movies, really, right?
At this point, yes.
At this point. The Big Pharma of streaming movies. GMP.
Where do they get all this money?
I don't know, actually.
Like 50 mil, probably most of that came from Netflix.
I don't think it's my $7.99 a month doing it.
Well, nope. No ads.
Yeah, no ads. No. No, I pay the 13. Anyways, it doesn't matter what I pay.
Yeah, listeners, welcome to the podcast where we talk about our subscriptions.
Yes. Which ones do you have? Which ones do you pay for? And we're followed up with a GMP, which I don't know who that is.
No one does.
Okay.
Ghost Media Productions.
Ghost Media Productions? Are we sure about that?
No. I'm just making it up right now. Okay. Because it sounds cool, doesn't it?
It does. Ghost Media Productions. Okay. And we got, what did I say it was pronounced? Wickwood, right?
Wickwood.
The old Wickwood. Down at the Wickwood. Wickwood Golf Course, which is David Yates Media Company. So
nice.
Named after some forest in the old England, Oxfordshire.
Yeah.
Oxfordshire.
Putting his money where his mouth is.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that.
And then we're immediately thrown a title card. What you're about to see is inspired by real events.
Yeah.
So as we said in the Fast Facts, there's a lot of things. They smash some characters together, and obviously you change names to protect the innocent. You were innocent anymore.
Guilty, mostly guilty.
No, they're innocent now because they served their time, but at this point, and it's kind of over, right?
I don't think that's how... I don't think you become innocent once you serve your time.
No, that's not it.
No, I think you're still guilty of that thing. You just did
You did your time.
Paid your debt to society, but
you don't get like a reset where you're like, oh, now I'm innocent. Now I can.
I don't think so.
No, that's not how it works. No, okay.
You still did the thing.
Yeah, you still did the thing, right? Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a pardon.
That, yes, right. Which, I mean, you still did the thing, though, even if you get pardoned.
You still did the thing.
You still did the thing. So just remember that. When you come out of prison, you still did the thing. You just,
Just you can have a better life.
Sure. You served your time, but you still did the thing.
We're big proponents of rehabilitation on the podcast.
100%. Let's rehabilitate.
We're going to need it someday too.
Let's get you out here. Get you back into work. Let's get you back into the, successful society, but you still did the thing.
You did the thing. Never forget.
Because we won't
forget.
Get what you get and you don't forget. All right. Send me another title card. Florida, 2011.
I missed that one.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. Off to a good start.
Good start. And we just got a car driving. Right? Yeah, it's a shot from the trailer. And it's her cruising on the highway there. That nice little bridge that goes over water in Florida. And we got a voiceover from Liza right off the bat. What did she say? Throw the first stone, sure, something.
I started to write it down and then I stopped because I didn't care.
And she's like, this is my story and I did it for the right reasons.
Money.
Yes. Correct.
Money and power. Got it.
Yes. Yes. That was actually why you started to do this. It was money. Yeah. Right. No, no. It was for better for, you need money to have a better. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then we get, So
back to talking about how I hate the way this movie is filmed.
Yeah.
We're going to do, are we talking about the interview stuff now?
Yeah. Cause I didn't.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Like, why do this? Why do this? So they do like, they basically introduce all of the characters one at a time with little title things. It's all black and white.
Yep.
For some reason.
Yep.
And it's like the filmmakers are pretending like it's a documentary and like interviewing these people as the story is going along.
Yeah.
So it's like you're watching a dramatization of what they're talking about while they're talking about it. And then most of the movie is narrated by Liza's character.
Yes. Well, yes.
At various points.
It doesn't pee. But other characters come in sometimes and they have their own little moments where they narrate and do voiceover.
They do, but much more briefly. Like they're mostly just only filler in the interview segments for the most part. Yeah.
I wonder if like the book is structured like this where there's interview sections. Did he interview people maybe for the book? I could have looked that up. It didn't. But, maybe that's why they're like, oh, let's play off this like this way.
Because if this is a Yatesy decision, bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or yeah. Wells Tower. I don't know.
Probably Wells. It doesn't work. Yeah. Wells Tower. Right. Yeah. I'm not totally into it either. So yeah, we have these are going to happen quite a bit throughout the rest of the movie where we cut these black and white moments of one character kind of telling their side of the story. Yeah. And then they basically, we start with Peter, right? And he's basically making it sound like they didn't do anything wrong, or they all kind of say this. They all kind of go with like, making it sound like they didn't do anything wrong, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is intercut with like
that's what you would say.
Of course, right? Yeah. And also you don't meet the person who's interviewing them, and it's not until the very end of the movie where you actually know that they're talking, like someone's there, like interviewing them.
Yes,
which is
agreed.
Also, kind of weird.
Yeah, and they do a lot of dancing around. Like, well, we're not strictly speaking part of the opioid crisis.
Yeah.
And you're I think this is you're squarely part of it. Yeah, yeah. We're not the Sacklers. How crazy would that be?
No, you're there. Then there's like intercut of like shots. So they do this quite a bit through the movie too, where they do these intercuts of like real life things, like shots of money and like overdose and people on stretchers and stuff like this, and scenes from the news, which is fine. It's like mostly to make a really kind of generally boring story interesting, I think, because.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really that. I mean, it's an interesting story, but not really.
Yeah, there's corrupt businesses in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. But as we said before, it's also like just straight taken from like the Adam McKay. The short
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street. What was the one you had? Big Short, thank you. But yeah, it's same kind of style where it's like, kind of quick editing just to make it interesting and moving along.
And then like they leave you on a good hook where Pete, Chris Evans' character is like, there were times I wish she died in a plane crash and there were times that I wish she died. And I forget what he said, but it's like even worse. It's like, yeah. There are times I wish she died in like a slower, more painful way. You're like, oh, so she must have really screwed this guy. I guess that sets up the whole movie.
I mean, then we also meet Jackie too, former sales rep, Xana Therapeutics, which is, Liza's mom, and she's talking about fentanyl and it ain't that bad. And then we meet Nathan Liddell too, the former
doctor
who's like kind of kick things off, right?
Yep. And his title on the screen is like former MD, but also like Liza made him.
So that kind of sets the stage of like this parallel thing we're gonna keep getting throughout the rest of the movie. And then we're pull up to we're in the car and Liza pulls up to immediately you can tell the old Onyx Club there, strip club down in Florida.
Yep. And there's like a angry phone call occurring about a custody battle with her ex-husband.
Bunch of exposition about her current situation, her life. She's a single mom trying to provide for her daughter. We learn all this in this phone conversation as she's leaving the car, walking into work. And then she's in the back. And then, then she goes on stage and he has like this weird showdown moment with this another dancer who ends up becoming a rep, and a bunch of other of the women at the club end up becoming reps for them.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. It is weird though.
Yeah, I don't get it because like looked like they had like this beef between them, but then she ends up bringing her into.
They never explore that.
No, not one bit.
No, like she's a worse dancer, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's not doing her job. She's just standing there.
Yeah, that much is clear. And then, she like, Pete, we get introduced to Pete. And now Pete's at the club, drinking away, trying to sell something to a doctor who the doctor guy is not listening.
No, he's not having it.
Not having it. And then the doctor guy walks away and Pete starts drinking his troubles away. And this is when our fated heroes meet each other, right?
Yes. And she's like, I don't want to dance, blah, blah. She's like, I'm not going to give you a dance. I don't want to give you a lap dance, blah, blah. She's like, and this is an annoying thing. And it is a couple times, but she's like, we basically learned that she can read people. She's like, I can tell you all about you, right?
Yeah.
And she starts going through which she does, and she goes through the whole spiel, and she can read them. So we learned, cool, she's got this ability to read people. That's great for sales reps. Got it.
Yeah.
Then Pete literally says this in the voiceover interview. And he's like, she was great at reading people. I'm like,
she had a gift.
She literally just did. Yeah, we got it.
Yep.
She just did that.
Yep.
He just showed us that.
Yeah. We kind of fast forward to a couple hours later. They've been sitting there. He's like wasted now.
Yeah.
And he's talking about his foster dad trying to bite his dick off, which I'm confused about.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't come back.
It doesn't. It's weird because they keep touching at various points his like backstory. But they don't enough to like make it worthwhile. And it feels like maybe there was more there and they just put on the cutting room floor, but they left some pieces. And it's like,
that might be one of those things where they were just like, let's just focus it more on Liza.
And guess what? You should have cut even more. Cut this whole thing out. Because like you're trying to make a sympathetic character out of him. That's what, maybe that's what they're trying to do. Like, oh, he's this sleazeball kind of guy, but let's make him sympathetic because he went through this abuse and stuff as he was a kid.
Yeah. But he's grossly unsympathetic the rest of the movie.
Right. So it's like his character arc doesn't change or become, you know what I mean? He hasn't become the thing that whatever they're trying to.
Yeah. It doesn't pay off.
No, just cut all of it. Just make him kind of just come off as a sleazy guy who's sales guy. That's all.
But he does end up offering her the job. And this is kind of from the trailer, right? Like, come work for me and you'll make 100K. And if he's lying, you can kiss me anywhere you want on my perfect body, which like they do bring it back later. And they do it a couple times where they're like a little will they, won't they between the two of these characters.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't effective though. Like they had good chemistry as like working together.
Yes.
But like, I don't think they could pull off the flirting with each other.
No, I agree. And it does come back a few more times later on. You could have cut all that too. Get rid of it.
Yep. Agreed. we're pre-ameliorating.
I know. It's so much easier when you're in it. And we got our title card, Pain Hustlers. Boom.
Yep.
And we cut right to school. So we introduce the daughter. We learn she's in trouble. She's going to get expelled. And then this is, we learn more about Liza and her ability to talk to people and work them down. Right. So initially the principal's like, she's getting expelled. She like basically lit the forest on fire, lit the school on fire. Cause she brought in like these illegal fireworks and it's like intercut with her actually doing
I bought them at the Circle K. They're not illegal.
Something's afoot at the Circle K. Mm-hmm. And then like it's intercut with the actual events of like what happened and her friends are in the woods and they're lighting a thing and the whole thing goes on fire. Basically she just talks her down to like a 3-day suspension, which then turns into like a 1-day suspension or something. I think it ends up as three.
The principal's pushing for five. She's like, why don't we just do one? And they meet in the middle, right?
At three. Yeah. And then we cut to the sister's house, which it's not very clear. That's their sister until later. Well, it kind of is, but,
I thought she was going to be in the movie.
Yeah. It takes
like,
a bit
based on the trailer. Like she's kind of a central part of the trailer, I thought. And she's in two scenes in the movie.
And so she said to her sister that she basically is crashing there, staying there. So it seems.
Exactly. And
they basically just have a big argument.
Yeah. Which the mother is also staying there or just using the garage as a workshop.
I think just using the garage as a workshop. I don't know. But
I don't either.
She says later on she's going to kick you out too. So when she talked to her mom, but.
Yeah. And we get a little bit of an intro into Liza's like hustle mentality kind of thing where she invented this app to like help market the makeup brand that the mom is making and like it like scans your face and recommends a thing and I'm like, all right, well this is all very believable technology for now, like I can totally, I'm sure there's 10 apps that do that. And they're trying to paint her as like she's an original thinker. She just doesn't necessarily know how to like get it done. Right.
Yeah, right. She has like no
direction. Hard times.
Someone needs
to give her a chance.
Right. And she just got canned from her dancing job and she owes her sister a bunch of money. So that's what we kind of learned there. And then at the end of it, she just kicks her out. Sister's like, well, I'm done. Get out of here. So.
Yep.
And that brings
us to
driving again. We're at the motel. So we pull in the motel. This is all from the trailer, right? Car breaks down as they pull into the motel. Classic move. We got the whole moving into the motel montage. It's sad. They've got the.
Yeah. Listeners, we could have just as easily done a kissing booth because this movie is montage heavy. Like
it's so many.
These episodes will probably be faster than you think because I think we're going to gloss over a lot because a lot of it's just like, oh, now they're doing an unpacking montage.
Yes.
And like, we could probably just get to the next scene.
Yeah, pretty much. Other than we learned that Skittles plus M&Ms plus popcorn equals movie salad.
Movie salad.
Let's go.
I do love that.
There's anything you should take from this is movie salad. Skittles, M&M's, popcorn. So
yeah, I guess, well, there is an important part before that. Sorry, I've kind of broke this scene into three scenes.
Because
like there's the move-in montage, then there's like the looking at the like meeting the other weirdos of the motel. And then there's like, you know, we get introduced to the family.
Yep.
Down the
very important. The hall. That's actually really important, yeah.
Yeah. And like the dude has his arm in a sling, like he broke his arm or something.
I wonder if that's gonna come back later.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh man. Dealing with pain, a lot of pain that we see immediately in the scene and like
But they're trying to like help them out. Like they have two young daughters also, and they're like, oh, well, you're gonna need these earplugs because this is a kind of a rowdy neighborhood. And the daughter tries to give her a blanket and does give her a blanket. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, this family is very nice and they're important later on. Kind of.
Mostly because Liza's gonna kill the father.
Right. More or less. And then that's when we get the movie salad and it's a whole thing. It's very nice.
Yeah. We just learned that the motel is noisy and just kind of crappy, which.
Yep. They're sleeping and they're like waking up to a party, basically. She starts doing the mantra from the trailer. I'm going to make my life count. We got to get out of here. This place sucks.
Yeah. Next day, motel, mom shows up. It's just a shot from the trailer. She hugs her. She's like, hey, you'll get through this.
Yeah. Cause her car got towed. Liza's car got towed. So the mom's like, here, have my car. Very sweet.
Yeah.
They're going to get through it. She says, mom's believing in her from the start, which like they do bring this back later.
Yeah.
And it was confusing to me because like, I was like, oh, the mom does seem pretty supportive. And then like Liza's like thrown it in her face later. Like you're a monster.
Right. Which is
unwarranted.
Yeah. I mean, based on what we get from the first interaction with the mom. So it's like,
she seems pretty cool.
Yeah. Like, here's my car. Like, you can go survive. Yeah. Right. Like,
here's my car. Like, okay.
All right.
Yeah. You got one of those cool moms. I get it.
I mean, it is a pink car, but whatever. That's fine. It's still a car.
Sure. It's a car. Yeah.
We're at Xana Therapeutics here.
Yep.
And we're introduced to Pete. He's in a sales pitch trying to pitch the fentanyl spray thing they've got.
Yep. They're trying to pitch it to a bank.
Yep. And we meet Pete, and he's doing a voiceover about the situation about each guy in the room. So we meet Andy Garcia, who plays Dr. Neil. Then we meet the VP of marketing.
Yep. That's
played by Jay Duplass, right?
Yep.
And he's kind of like voiceovering each one of them. He's like, oh, this guy's a backstabbing snake. So we learn there's conflict between them.
CEO Eric Paley, who also stinks.
Yep.
Basically everybody stinks. And then
the whole C-suite.
$80 million in debt from our founder here, Jack Neal. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we also get the setup for the drug at this point, which is basically, it's the same, it's fentanyl. It's the same as their competitors, but it kicks in 5 minutes instead of like an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Or whatever. Is it so Praxium? Praxium is their competitor, I think.
Yep, exactly. So it's faster. That's the whole premise.
And then midway through the meeting, he gets a phone call. And classic, he looks at the phone call and says, strip club chick.
Yep.
Classic.
Works.
And then Liza just shows up.
Yep. She's there. Yep.
She's just
in
the
office calling.
Yeah. So we learn that she's smart again. He's like, how did you find us? But this address isn't even listed. And she's like, I just made a call. Da, 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 da. I was like, okay, we get it. She's resourceful. She's smart. She's a hustler. She can figure this stuff out.
A pain hustler?
I think you might be right there. God.
Yeah. We get a little bit of premise. The bank walks away from the, they're like, you guys should just sell the patent, get out of this.
Right.
And then we get a little setup because he's like, oh, this, I'm interviewing this woman for sales. And the VP of marketing is like, wait, there's a hiring freeze. And like, you get the sense the company is doing very poorly.
Very poorly. So they interview, and her resume is, it's all from the trailer, a little extended. It's dubious.
2 years of high school.
Yep. She sold some knives.
Sales.
Yep.
President of Green Rock Enterprises, which is like a making drywall out of poop, right?
Poop was the thing. Yep. So you're making drywall out of poop, basically. That's what it's it's like, all right, Chris Evans,
Northeast accent.
Yeah. So you're telling me you just made poop, you're making concrete out of bones? Is that what you're telling me, Mr. Flintstone?
It's basically the same.
We're basically the same concept.
And apparently there's a restaurant in Savannah that she owns, but
her husband
took it.
Yeah.
She's like, what? Focus on that part of the
Right.
That seems interesting. Hey,
go grab that. And then of course, as we said in the trailer trash, if you're in an interview and you feel like it's going bad, always end it with this.
Just beg.
Just beg. Just give me a shot. Would you just give me a shot?
Give me a shot. Please.
Just give me a shot.
Okay. Yeah. And he's like, you got a Word file, that resume? And then they do like a little, like very brief, like rewrite montage. The resume montage.
Yeah. It was like a polishing up of the montage. It's like the one when you hand it to your parents and like, no, you're not, you didn't work at a retail place. You're the assistant director of retail.
When you say polish up, it's like your parents would do if they made it up and gave you a PhD.
Like, your parents
it's entirely of whole cloth. No. So she's like, I barely got my GED. What do you mean I got a PhD now? And he's like, don't worry about it.
That's another resume tip, which is a very long running thing we have here that just started now. when you're writing your resume at the end of the day, just lie. You
know, always lie.
Always lie and just end it with, give me a shot.
No one's going to check.
No one's going to check. There.
If I had a nickel for every time I verified something on someone's resume, I'd have none nickels.
It just doesn't happen, right?
Yeah. I've hired a decent amount of people in my career, and I have never once verified anything on a resume.
Have all those hires gone? They've worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah. Really well. Yeah. I'm pretty good at hiring people.
Because you can read people. That's why Jerry can see them. He knows.
That's right. I'm the Ray Kroc of software.
Oh my goodness.
Different movie.
And then we have the same thing with the trailer. Pete introduces Eliza to I kept calling him Mr. Drake. That's her last name. Mr. Dr. Neil there. Yep. He does the hand sanitizer thing, which is, this is where you kind of learn right off the bat. You're like, oh, this guy's going to, he's going to be a loose cannon later on.
He's
like
eccentric.
Eccentric. Yes. A little bit. And we learned this whole thing about, again, she looked up this, she saw the magazine article about him, didn't read it. She uses that kind of like a plug to get in with him again, showing she's resourceful. She can hustle. He goes on about his wife, Xana, which is the company's name after, died of cancer, and that's what he was looking for.
Like, why do that? Like, yeah. Like the real company, like, oh yeah, his wife named Insys, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like, do it more like the real company. I don't know. Stupid. Don't waste a plot point on that.
But we learned that he came up with a drug to relieve those in the same pain. She went through like a lot of pain, and this was his.
Yep. Yeah. She was dying of cancer, suffering. Yada, yada, yada. But he's basically like, well, you're going to be joining a doomed endeavor. Like, the company's in the shitter, so good luck.
Yeah.
You're in.
And then we learn about base pay. Base pay, by the way, is for shipbirds, okay?
I've heard that from this movie.
It's all about commissions, okay?
Yep.
Don't say base pay. Base pay is for shipbirds.
Classic.
Classic Chris Evans.
Yep.
Money and walks, money talks. Yeah.
Their commission structure is ridiculous. And I wonder if actual like pharma commission structures are like this. Cause he's like, you can make $500,000 on 10 patients.
Probably.
You're like, how?
Can I just do that for like a month and then call it quits? Like, I don't.
Yeah, dude. Like, I know you're looking for a gig. Like,
I can't do it. I did sales once, you know. It's not.
Did you?
Yeah, a long time ago.
AOL?
Yeah, selling the CDs.
I knew it.
Do you need internet?
I thought I got these for free in the mail. No, that's what big internet wants you to think.
That's right. ABC, always be closing. That's what they said.
Yeah. It's not, nothing's free. If it's free, you're the product.
That's right. So we're back at the motel. He gives her a disc. It's like, here you go. Watch this DVD and learn all about us. So she goes back and we get the first, she's watching a video about the drug. We learn there's, Mass General Research. I was like, whoa, yikes. Let's not pull Mass Gen in here. Mass Gen knows what they're doing. Let's settle down here. Which, by the way, they do.
That's right.
So she's learning about the Lanifin or whatever it is. And then we have a mom-daughter moment about being in big pharma sales. Daughter's kind of making fun of her.
It's weird. Like, the daughter's like giving her tips and tricks for pharma sales. She's like, oh, I read this like forum post. You need a low cut blouse and a push up bra. And like, and I don't know. They have like a weird little fight about her reading sales smut,
which obviously isn't that far. Cause later on, like, that's basically what all the sales reps are doing in a way.
Yeah. I'm also confused about the daughter's age. I think for most of this movie, cause I'm like,
I am too.
I think she's a teenager, but then they're like kind of make her seem younger throughout a lot of it. It's very confusing.
I think the actress just comes off as older anyways.
I think that might be what it is. But you're like, is this inappropriate content for her to be reading, or is it maybe okay because she's
probably
a teenager?
Probably just fine. Yeah. And then we were another kind of mini montage-y mix thing here.
Because it leads
into a failure montage, right?
Yeah. Well, it's another. So there's another quick little driving scene. There's a lot of driving scenes in the movie. Pete gets introduced to the daughter. He's like, oh, you're cool. Like, you did arson.
Yeah.
And then that's when they get to, he's like taking her on her first sales gig. So then he's like, all right, we're going to this pill mill, basically.
Yeah. It's in a shitty strip mall in Florida. You can picture it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a classic what you expect from like a Florida strip mall pain clinic. And we get introduced to our doctor, Lydell, who's in the parking lot smoking. And this is our $9 million man, right? Yep. That's when we kind of like kick off the montage.
And this, this kicks into it. So then we the doctor's office and she's kind of doing a pitch to him. She brought in some
apple slump, she called it, which I was like,
slump.
I've never heard that in my life.
Me neither.
Don't you mean apple crisp?
And then we meet the competition immediately. So some woman comes in, she pops up every once in a while. She works for Praxium and she comes in, she's got the gift. She's already sweetened to, you know, sweetened him up. You know, she knows how to hustle. She's got him, right?
Works every time.
And then we go into the failure montage. She's just pushing on doctors. One guy is like, didn't you know this stuff was, this guy was banned like years ago or something?
Yeah. Cause she's like, oh, like here, have a pen. And he's like, you can't just like give us materials and like marketing stuff now. Like this is not how it works.
Yeah. And then there's like a weird moment where she like catches the daughter just like staring off into space. Cause we don't yet know that she's got this seizure situation, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But she's like having a mini seizure. And the, at this pitch, she ends up collapsing on the floor and it's a whole thing. She has a full blown, I believe grand mal is the medical term, not a doctor, but
I don't
play one on TV.
No clue. I have no idea.
And then we cut to, Phoebe's doctor.
Yeah. Real doctor. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like a brain guy.
Yeah.
So he's like, I got a bunch of answers. He's like, there's something you got right in your brain here. And they're like, is it the tumor? He's like, no, it's not the tumor. And he's like, when this thing swells, you get the seizures. And he's talking about removal options. We can go in and scoop it out. And we cut to like a melon ball scooper and Liza doing some voiceover here. And then
we get
this this keyhole option where they go in through the nose and they basically give you a lobotomy and pull this stuff out, right?
That's what you want, right?
But nothing is, it's not covered by the Medicare.
Medicaid, yeah, very expensive.
Medicaid, yeah.
Yeah, and it might get straightened out during puberty on its own. There's a chance, but there's also a chance we have to do the surgery, like TBD.
TBD, unsure, unclear.
We'll save it for later in the movie.
So then he's like, long story short, keep things stable at home, and then intercuts to them sleeping at night with the loud noises, and Liza's like, okay, we have like the quick little Sam Raimi, like, poof, fill up the trunk, poof, in the car, and we're off.
Yep,
classic. Motel ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. So another car scene. There's so many car scenes. And she's explaining, like, you just got to go live with your dad for maybe a couple months. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you mean my evil dad and my evil stepmom who hates you and like says you're a bad mom? And she's like, oh. And they're like, that's like the end of that, basically, except for then she gets a phone call from Pete.
And he goes off on her about working for the 5 days. And she's like, I haven't closed any deals. He's like, I got you until 5 p.m.
Yeah. She's like, I've gone through the whole roster of all the doctors you told me. And he's like, all right, well, then do it again. Get turned down twice.
Yeah. Because he's caught that she was out of her territory. He's like, why are you out of your territory?
Yeah.
Territory.
Good Northeast accent.
That's right. And then she goes back to the sketchball doctor. She's like, basically just parks in the parking lot. So it looks like she's there.
Yeah, which is stupid because he's like, oh, I'm going to drag you through small claims court. And you're like, no, he's not.
Oh, you don't have any money to do this. Why are you doing this? You know?
No, like realistically, the movie just ends now because she's like, nope, I have to go on about my business and get a real job. And like,
yeah, just go back to the strip club. You'll probably make plenty of money there if you just get enthusiastic about your job.
Exactly. But instead, she goes to the doctor's clinic.
And she's like, I'm going to go talk to him. He's out smoking again. She's like, I just came back to get my Tupperware. And then she's inside. She overhears a patient talking about, this is where we're introduced. What was his name? Max or?
Matt. Yeah. Yeah. The doctor's like talking about his divorce and stuff. Like she's trying to sweet talk him at that point too. Like, oh yeah, like I just came back from my Tupperware. And that's when she meets Matt. She overhears him complaining about this fentanyl lollipop that's not working and he's in pain all the time. And his wife's like, can't we do anything, doc? And he's like, no.
No.
And then she confronts Dr. Lydell and is like, hey, that's exactly what lonifin's for. I'm not trying to even sell it to you at this point, but like, I don't get it. Why is no one willing to prescribe a better drug?
Right.
And he's like, listen, lady, you don't understand how the industry works.
Yeah.
And then that's when our patient's wife, Matt's wife, walks in and says, hey, now.
Get me that drug. Let's go.
Give me that stat. Yeah. So then we cut to a little doctor meeting with Matt and the wife and the doctor, and they're like, yeah, it's basically the same thing, but it works faster and better. And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we get a ton of backstory about Matt that I just don't really care about.
Well, it cuts into like the patient black and white interview thing. So now he's talking. He's like, then he goes this whole backstory about him. He was in the Navy Corps or something, couldn't handle the pain. It was Marine, brutal. What's that? Yeah. It was a Marine. It
doesn't matter.
Yeah. He was in the military. So he's like, I can handle pain, but this pain is I couldn't handle. It's debilitating. Cut back to the doctor's office. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So,
yeah. And the doctor's like, okie dokie.
Okay. And she's pumped. She's out celebrating and daughter smiles and we're all going to make a ton of money.
Yep. Cut to the office. And the CEO is basically like, all right, everyone, like, you know what I'm going to say? The company's in the shitter, like about to lay off everyone, you think. But she walks in and she kind of saves the day, right? She's like, I got a script.
Yeah. Well, it was only four mics though. So, but
right. Only four mics, whatever. Come on. Is it micrograms? Do you think it's micrograms?
I think so. I don't know.
They didn't explain it.
No, they didn't explain it. But then he basically, he went back, she goes in, she's like, yeah, I sold the $9 million man. And then she said, they basically set up like that. They'd have a speaker program where he can go and.
Which I didn't know that was what this was called.
I didn't know that either.
I feel like I've heard of this thing. Like where like pharmaceutical companies will pay a doctor to like go do like a speaking circuit kind of where it's basically like a fancy paid vacation to get around the lobbying and bribery laws and stuff.
Right. Which we cut to Pete in an interview doing the explaining of that. And we intercut with like shots of, you know, people on vacation and doing this whole thing and partying and women and booth babes and stuff like this, where they basically just wine and dine them and, you know, get them to come out. They pay them, put them on vacation. Yeah. Like you just said, and they,
it's a legal grift, but everybody was doing it.
So that's it. She has an idea. She's like, well, why don't we just do this ourselves?
Yeah. Cause the marketing guy's like, no way, that's expensive.
Yeah.
And you're like, and okay.
She, because as we know, she's good at pitching and hustling people and reading people. She pitches it to Pete as like, how about we host the event ourselves so we can screw that VP of marketing guy over there.
Yeah, let's each put in $400 and we can probably do this.
She works on his thing of wanting to just his conflict with that guy is like, let's work this to screw him over. And Pete's like, yeah, I'm all in. So
that was kind of important only because it comes back in a line later. When they were setting up the conflict between Pete and the VP marketing guys, like they were both fighting for the COO job.
Yes, right. Yeah.
And like nobody got it, it sounds like. It'll come back later, but that's part of their beef too. They're fighting for the same job.
So then we're at a hotel with the event. Yeah, the event, the first speaker program with Dr. Liddell there. No one showed up. So
empty.
So she starts to improvise and she goes and finds some doctors at the hotel by the pool.
Yeah, because Pete's like, if we don't get doctor names on that sheet, like this becomes illegal. Like that's when the feds show up.
Right.
Like we got to have some doctors here or we can't do this. And she's like, it's a hotel. There's got to be a doctor here.
Got to be one, right? So she pulls into, and then Liddell shows up and he's like, no one's here. It's just Pete and the two doctors she pulled from the hotel.
These two wasted podiatrists.
And he starts to leave, but then she again hustles and convinces him to stay. And
Well, she asks about his patient. She's like, how's Matt doing? Like, is the drug working for him? And he's like, yeah. And then it cuts to Matt and he's like running around on the beach with his kids. And he's like, it gave me my life back for a minute. It was awesome. I love drugs.
For a minute is a little foreshadowed because
Matt's
doesn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so basically she's like, doesn't the industry need to hear from people like you? Like you wrote what was right for the patient. You wrote that script, not the one big Praxium, like you got to change the whole scene here, right? You got to flip the script figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the party. We can make this happen with the podiatrist.
Ribs and wine. Ribs. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then we have like a karaoke montage.
Liddell rips closing time.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, it's got a closing time. I was like so blanking on the name of the song. I was like, God.
He's awesome at it.
Yeah. And that comes back later too, because I played at a key moment.
But now it's a party. It's going great.
Yeah. And then we got more people showing in and we get the doc is totally drunk. And then Pete basically makes the speaker offer, kind of like this payola scheme thing going on. Speak of how great the drug is, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. There's like a little bit here where she's like, I did nothing illegal, Pete took care of all of that. And he's like, here, let me pay, like, let me offer you kickbacks for switching all your patients to Lonafin. And he's like, okie dokie. And explains that, like, Big Pharma is all about finding that gray line. Like, this is what they're arguing in the parking lot then. Pete and Liza, she's like, don't you think that's a little amoral, like what we're doing? And he's like, no, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
like the fines are baked into the marketing budget. Like, you pay a fine, you get a slap on the wrist, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You're a pharma legend, you saved the company, let's go.
So where does that leave us now?
At the motel, I think.
Yes. Right,
with the moms drinking in the afternoon. And dad here fakes an injury, gets a because he's got his real injury still, his arm in a sling, and the kids like throw a baseball at his arm, which like probably did hurt.
Probably did. And the wife checks on him and he's like, it's okay, I'm fine, honey. But he's still definitely clearly in a lot of pain. And then Peter shows up like a dick in his BMW.
Like runs then, over their the kids' stuff.
Totally, like toys, whatever. And then we cut to the scene in the hotel, the motel room, right? Where he's talking to her and he's like, hey, the drug's taken off thanks to Lydell there. Look at all these mics.
Rookie of the year bracelet.
Yeah, look at all these mics he's prescribing out there. This is great. This is great news, right? And then we get the, I don't think you're making 100K this year. It's going to be more like 600.
Yeah.
I want to strangle you. What? Fire it up. She's like, what? Really? And then he's like, whatever, a deal's a deal. You can kiss me anywhere you want.
Yeah.
And she kisses his hand, his knuckle.
Unlike the drug we're selling, this is highly addictive. And you're like, I hate this. Yeah. But she kisses his hand and she is genuinely thankful because she's like, you know, this is a better life for me and my daughter now. We finally made it.
And then we cut to the sister's house. We get the mom cooking meth. Not really. She's not cooking meth. She's making some cosmetic stuff.
She's making makeup.
Yeah. She's in the cosmetics, which that comes back at the very end. A foreshadowed. And then Liza shows up and now she's a nice lady business suit. She's got a brand new car from mom. Nice Mercedes.
Mercedes SUV. Very expensive.
Pays back the sister plus interest. Here you go. Sister's like, wow, this is great.
Yeah. Where are you getting all this fake money? She's like, no. I'm just bringing pain relief to cancer patients in agony. No big deal.
No big whoop. Huh? Am I right? What do you do again?
Kind of important.
Kind of important. Then we come back to Xana, and then we get basically the conflict rising between the VP of marketing there and Pete. And he's like, I'm telling on you guys for running the speaker program. Does
you're Drake, fired.
Yeah, does Dr. Neil even know? We need a compliance team to vet all this, blah, blah, blah. And then they show him that they made a ton of money. And he's like, well, I mean, we could, figure out how to blah, 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 blah. Because, you know.
Made 200 grand in 1 week with one doctor.
So he changes his tune a bit.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we already got approval without you anyway. And we're going to pilot the program. And we need to go on a hiring spree for all these hot salespeople.
And then we go to an interview montage.
From the trailer. Yep.
This one is long.
A bunch more unqualified people. Yeah, it's a long one. I feel like we just gloss right through it. They find a bunch more people, dancers and like people who are downtrodden and like really desperate people.
Because PhD, right? Poor, hungry, and desperate.
Poor, hungry, and dumb. But in your case, it was desperate.
Desperate, right? Even mom shows up for a job. So they're just hiring anyone, right?
Yeah, and Pete's like, we can't hire mom, and she's like, if you can hire that hot chick that you're probably going to knock up later on.
Yes. I can hire my mom, who's also going to maybe bang the Dr. Neil there, but also maybe save us.
Classic. Well, save me.
Save me. Save me. That's right. And it's this montage is really long, and like everyone gets their own little backstory that they're talking through. And I'm like, why? Yeah. We don't care. You can do quick one-liners here. Let's move through this.
And then they do like the speech from the trailer, the own a territory, own a doctor.
Which is also turns into another selling montage. So we kind of have a quick moment of her doing the what would, Liza Drake do thing, very Wolf of Wall Street moment, own your territory, da da da. They're all fired up. And then it cuts into montage of the team like selling, right? Yeah. Voice over like recent doctors. Basically,
it's an art.
Yeah. Sales team using any tactic they can, even sexy favors, Which That's is. Right. Not probably good. Slow-mo walking of women in hospitals with gifts, intercut with Liza doing a black and white interview. And then she's basically telling the reps to be quote unquote friends to get a sale, do whatever you need to do to get a sale.
Exactly.
And like, and that's where they get the line.
You want desperate reps and desperate doctors. And that's when you have doctors are just as greedy and horny as everybody else. You got to find the desperate ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we do more montage stuff.
Yeah. There's this, I think there's like a strip club montage where the whole gang is there having fun, right? They're at the club having a good time. More voiceover about success. We got crazy numbers in this quarter, market share in the area. We are crushing it. Let's go.
Yep, exactly. Yep. There's some black and white interview stuff in there, interspersed in there.
Yeah.
Where they're explaining some, but it's like, it's stupid. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And then we're back at the office. Everybody's happy now, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're making money.
Getting to the people who needed it. Everybody's happy except the competition because they're getting crushed. This is when we get, they're at the Dr. Lydell's office, right?
Right.
We get that sales lady that she faced off with at the beginning coming back from Praxium. And she's
Praxium like, lady. Yep.
Little battle, right?
Yep. We spot the dad at the office where she's like, oh, who's that? Just to remind you that we have this guy. He's now at the doctor's office. He's looking to get pain relief, blah, blah, blah.
And then their conversation doesn't really matter. Basically, a little friendly, competitive banter. And by friendly, I mean not so friendly, but.
Yeah, more voiceover. And then we cut to like why Praxium didn't win back like their clients and customers was because the FBI came for them. This is a scene from the trailer. She's doing a speech at the hotel with all the customers, blah, blah, blah. FBI came in.
That was the big thing we missed in our trailer trash predictions. We thought this raid was related to you.
yeah. This was the competitor here. So because they were paying off docs to just, you know, prescribe
fentanyl for
fentanyl. Everything. but they got hit with like a standard fine. That was it, really.
Yeah,
they're like, fine. Nope. And then like,
no more grease in doctors for 5 years. That's the penalty.
Okay,
if you say so.
Thanks. Yay. Okay, so then we're at the new home. We got a new house. We got a new apartment. Basically, all that happens here. I think is Eliza and the daughter move in.
And it's the company condo, apparently.
Right.
And the daughter's raving about it. She's like, my closet's bigger than my old room. She's talking to her dad on the phone. And they're in the Gulf of Mexico, like right on the beach. It's very nice. Mm. Little say hi to mom moment, which I thought was going to maybe pay off later. No,
nope. Doesn't matter. Nope.
Nope. Completely doesn't matter. And then we cut to fancy school.
Yeah, right? Fancy school.
With an alpaca.
This whole scene was completely unnecessary. Not to ameliorate already, but.
I know. We cut this whole plot.
Get the point. This is. I mean, I get the point was just to show that money talks and money again, money, exactly. Right? That's all it is. It's like, but we get that. We already understand that.
Basically, the headmaster of the school there, she's like, oh, if you want to get into the school, it's pretty competitive. You're going to have to pay. Like, how much can you pay? And she's like, oh, I can pay full tuition, 100%. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. And she's like, can you pay enhanced tuition, which is actually double. Full tuition.
Because double
they,
it is.
They everybody's wasting money. They're doing a bunch of grift. The alpacas were expensive. Let's do it.
It's just to show that she's got even more money
And then the next scene I hate.
We're back at the new home and mom's there and mom's asking basically about a favor to get
popcorn tower.
Popcorn tower. That's important. That's important. I'll come back later. That's a big A foreshadowed. I'd love to have a popcorn tower VA foreshadowed.
When there's a popcorn tower, you're going to ask me to do something fucked up.
Yep. And mom's asking for favors. She wants to be number one, right? And I forget exactly the details. I kind of was like, she just wants more territory or something like that. Or
basically she's like, I don't understand. Like, aren't you in charge of the sales team? Like, can't you like get me a better territory? Or it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter because it becomes the whole crux of the whole plot.
Yeah. But I do too. This is right around the halfway point, by the way. And then we get this is like, we have this really quick walk and talk outside of the car going back into Xana or something between Pete and Liza. Yeah. And all we pretty much learn about this is like, he knocked up one of the sales reps they hired.
Yep. The one that was like the exchange for hiring the mom.
Yes. Right.
Talks about his crappy parents more, which like, again, like
doesn't
cut. It's like your backstory. You're not doing it. You're not building sympathy for this character at all.
No, and that's fine.
the baby on the way. I don't care about this character.
No. Like, and just make him the sleazeball guy. Like, that's fine. Just make him that through the entire thing. Cut all this stuff. We don't need it. Just make him this, because he doesn't change at the end. So it doesn't matter. And
nope.
I don't care. So.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And then we're
back at the office.
Yep.
And they're talking about how you, like, they get to pay for all these kickbacks.
Yeah, and this is like a presentation meeting with Pete and Liza, right? They're doing a presentation to Dr. Neil, Andy Garcia, Jay Duplass, and the other guy,
VP marketing and the CEO.
VP marketing and the CEO, right?
Yep.
And then basically middle of the meeting, the VP of marketing, like, long story short, he's just kind of like, he dug up a bunch of past. He's just being a dick. And he dug up a bunch of Liza's past because I guess the husband reached out and was like, yeah, this isn't, none of this is tracks or something.
Yep.
And
she's like, didn't graduate high school and went to jail for a bit, got a felony conviction for selling weed gummies. It's a whole thing.
It's 2011, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Simpler times.
And you know, then he slaps down the envelope on Dr. Neil's desk, and Dr. Neil's like, why are you slapping that down on my desk? And he's like, you're being disrespectful to that young lady. He basically turns on him and he's just like, yeah, dude, she's the one who's bringing all the money and doing the thing. He, of course,
Liza's he's gonna save this company.
Yeah, he's like, he's not gonna give a shit about that she was a stripper or whatever else. Like, whatever else you think that's bad about her, like, who cares?
Yeah, he's like, in fact, Liza, you're promoted to national sales director, and he's like, Pete, you're the new COO. That job that you both wanted there,
done and done.
And so VP marketing guy's like, I'm gonna quit. Like, you can't, like, I can't do this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not going to work for Pete. And he's like, great. You don't have to quit because you're fired.
I love it. We should hire someone for ITMT Labs Corp just so we can fire them.
Just so we can fire them. Yeah. Ah, the thrill.
I can't wait. We'll find someone. And then
things are looking up for our heroes, right?
Like, they're top Pete and Liza, the world.
Like, top promotions. Of the
world. Let's go.
Making bank.
Let's go. Worry. Let's get that fentanyl in the streets. Let's go.
I can't see how this would go poorly.
I can't see it either. I actually thought when they fired this guy, I thought that was going to come back and bite them in the ass later, but doesn't really.
Nope, not at all.
Thought that might have been a little setup for him.
Nope, he's not in the movie ever again. Inconsequential.
Other than when they tell him how much prison time he got, but which is like 15, 16 months or something, or 60 months.
So it's like a year. No, it's like,
It's like freaking stupid. Jesus Christ. I mean, we're just going to, I think, fire this first part, this episode right now, right?
That's right. You're fired.
Yeah, you can't quit on this episode because we fire you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of burning questions. Will Pete and Liza get together?
Won't they?
Will they, won't they? Will Big Pharma win?
What you guess?
Yeah. Let you guess that one.
Real cliffhanger. Good cliffhanger, Russ.
All right. I think that's it. So thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday with part 2. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at It's This Meets That, ITMT Pod on Twitter. You subscribe wherever you find us, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google. I think it's YouTube Music now. I think they're merging Google Podcasts into.
That's right.
Figure it out, Google.
We're there either way.
Yeah, we're there. It doesn't matter. And wherever else. And you can share us with a friend. Share with a friend.
Or share with a stranger and write a review, because those are always helpful too. 5 stars, maybe on Apple or Spotify, whichever, or both. Both would be nice. Yeah. Maybe a nice comment. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to. But you could send us an email. Mm. We appreciate that, right? Mm-hmm. We read them in Trailer Trash. Fan service, great segment when we have emails. So
yeah, do it.
Hint, hint. It's this meets that at gmail.com. Or
we're gonna set up an email program where we start paying people to send us emails, but we don't have any money, so we'll have to figure out some other scheme to, like,
kickbacks.
Kickbacks.
yeah. I like, we'll flesh that out.
Yeah, you're a marketing guy. You can come up with some marketing scheme, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Don't worry. I got us covered. Listeners, we'll find a way to compensate you for your emails.
That's right. Completely meantime, legal.
Send them and we'll figure out the compensation later. Or if you don't want to do that, go to the website. I implore you. There's all kinds of information about me, Russ, our rotating cast of ITMT characters. And by characters, I mean staff. I just call them characters.
But I mean, they're all characters to us, right? I mean,
bunch of characters welcome.
Yeah, characters welcome, obviously.
But they're totally real.
100%.
Yep. And you can find t-shirts. You want t-shirts? Yes.
Yeah.
More than anything.
I don't need to clothe myself. Right?
Of course.
If you want to go to a 7-Eleven, you need a t-shirt, get one from us. Right?
That's right. Shirts and shoes required.
For service.
No pants. But
shirts and shoes. Yes.
Why isn't that on the sign?
I don't know. That's a great question, actually. I'm sure some Florida man can answer that.
Something to think about. Buy Russ's book, Host, if you haven't done that. Yeah, just go to itsthismeetsthat.com. You can find everything. It's all in one place.